We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. I couldn't resist. We are getting ready for Passover. That's what we're doing for the next 2 weeks. Passover is 2 weeks from last Friday night, 2 days ago, yes. So we're within two, as we call it in our part of the world. It's crunch time. Yes. In this half hour of the show, we will be interviewing the Jewish Hour's and Jewish Ferndale's own Chana Finman, taking an anxiety and stress out of preparing for Passover, as a matter of fact. We've got a wonderful assortment of songs, music, Jewish music of all genres throughout the show. We have, let's see, looking at the playlist, we have one Passover song, that's for sure Passover, and one which could be. The portion of the week is the portion of Tzav, which is chapter 6 and following in the book of Leviticus. We have a wonderful Hasidic story at the end of the show. Stay all the way through to the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The Israeli military detonated two roadside bombs on the northern Gazan border. An RPG was fired at the troops during that morning incident. No Israeli soldiers were hurt. In response, the IDF attacked five Hamas observation points in Gaza. The Polish Senate approved a resolution marking March 24th, a day to remember Poles who saved Jews during World War II. 6,000 Poles have been named righteous among the nations by the Yad Vashem Memorial in Jerusalem for saving Jews, the most of any nation. And this comes in after the whole brouhaha with the Poles saying that we were not part of the Holocaust. Representatives from nearly two dozen countries and international organizations gathered at the White House for a conference to discuss aid for Gaza. The PA was not included. The human suffering in Gaza has grown over the past year. Top U.S. Middle East negotiator Jason Greenblatt explained. He continued that in Gaza, poverty and food insecurity are growing, electricity is scarce, and contaminated water is a real danger. Stay tuned. The number of incidents involving anti-Semitic vandalism recorded in the Netherlands last year increased by 40% to a 10-year high. There are 28 such reports. And finally, Oskar Gröning, the bookkeeper of Auschwitz, died at age 96 in a German prison. Gröning was convicted as an accessory to the murder of 300,000 Hungarian Jews at the Auschwitz death camp. He was serving a four-year service sentence. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We are on live with Chana Finman, co-producer of the Jewish Hour and co-director of Jewish Ferndale. We're talking about taking the anxiety out of Passover today. How are you, Hannah?
I am Baruch Hashem well. Thank God. Hanging in there.
Okay, so Passover is less than 2 weeks away. I don't want to startle anybody. And there's like a plethora. If you go on YouTube and Google and whatnot, and you type in the word Passover and like complaints, you get like a zillion hits. And it's just like, it's the subject. There's a joke that's even like goes back to the shtetl about women and I'm not going to say it, women and complaining about getting ready for Passover and the built-in anxiety. So what we're going to do today, Hanna, is we're going to allay people's fears of getting ready for Passover. You know, so
we're going to do
Passover the easy way. We're going to do
all yours. Go ahead, tell us. Tell us how not to.
No. You're going to do.
Freak
it.
Out.
You're going to tell us how to approach all this. And so, first of all, why do people think they need to freak out, and then why shouldn't they freak out?
Well,
and then we'll talk give them some easy ways.
I think it's an interesting way you composed the question. You know, we never need to freak out for anything.
Right.
You know, freaking out, what does freaking out look like? Hysterics, crying, bashing around the house and storming out the door slams, all that stuff. I mean, you could do that all the time for everything you're disappointed with. When the stress comes, like bigger waves of it. So what we learn to do is pretend we're on a little floating device and float over it. Ooh, and another one comes. Ooh. A lot of times now people have on their shirts the words, what is it, be calm.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You're from Winston Churchill.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, stay calm, breathe. You see that on everything? And they're great. That's right. Stay calm, 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 breathe. You know, there's women who are conducting the organizational part of Passover, Pesach, with great intention, with great mindfulness. And they start around Hanukkah time, just sort of slowly looking over lists and organizing things for a half an hour every day. So that's really the way to do it, is, you know, be very prepared. But then there's other people who say that's just a bunch of nonsense. You know, why start the anxiety of even thinking about this holiday and all the preparations that need to be done to do it in the way we were commanded to do in the Torah? That means having no leavened products in the house and cleaning everything up. And most people have a lot of company over, so they're preparing all these rooms and lists of food because there's a lot of meals. But there's other people with an entirely different approach, Herschel. One of them is one of the people who have been on your show several times, Levona Kirshenbaum, our dear friend, who is a great cookbook writer, restaurateur, great speaker of the wonders of eating healthy. So she's quite a leader for women in just knowing how to do things with a lot of class. I have to say that. It's the only word I can think of when I think of, you know, Levona Kirshenbaum. I think of doing things with class, you know? You know what she does, Herschel?
Let me hear.
She hires a cleaning team the week before Pesach, a cleaning team, three people at once. She lives in the Upper West Side. It's not like having a house in the suburbs with a zillion rooms in a basement, right? And a garage. I mean, would they kill for that in the Upper West Side, right? She has a beautiful apartment. But still, I thought, this is great. Hire a cleaning team, a professional cleaning team. Whatever it costs, that saves a lot of anxiety. And they bulldoze through her house the week before Pesach. And she has a helper because she has a tremendous amount of guests, relatives, friends, and strangers. Because we all try to look out for those who don't have a family. And this is what I wanted to talk about. We talk about anxiety for Pesach, right, so we can get nerve-wracked about how to organize our home. But you know what I really care about more than that? Because everybody somehow gets it all done. And some kids get their head bitten off if they eat a sandwich after mommy has just vacuumed out a room. They're going to get yelled at. I don't care. That's part of Jewish life. Hey, you, get out of there. That's okay. But that's parameters. But, you know, what I really love is just the idea of looking out and thinking really hard, who on my street or around the corner has no place to go for Pesach? That's the real anxiety, being alone. And there's always someone, a single girl or woman, a widow, a widower, somebody who just got divorced and who's going through a deep emotional pain that's beyond the anxiety of like, oh, you know, here's a box of Rice Krispies. We forgot to put that away. I mean, really, it's just a box of Rice Krispies that we forgot to put away, and there's no reason to get all bent out of shape over Rice Krispies. You know, we'll figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, we have a lot of to-do lists this time of the year, but let's really put the anxiety where it really matters, and that's reaching out to those who need a Seder if we're making one and having that extra couple of place settings for the thought that might pop into your head at the last minute. Oh, my gosh, what about Mrs. Rabinowitz who lives around the corner? Why didn't I call her? I should have called her and then call her. And that's for Mrs. Rabinowitz or whoever it is. So no one has to be alone. I think that's the worst fear for me, is just thinking about someone who doesn't have a place to go. Nowadays, there's a lot of public seders that don't cost any money. That's true. And those are terrific.
We're doing
absolutely
one at Jewish Ferndale,
a terrific
as a matter of fact,
service
if people
to the Jewish
contact
community.
Us.
Yes. So that's good
let me
to
just
go
interrupt.
Online now. You can find out where they are.
Let me just interrupt a second. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Chana Finman, co-producer of the Jewish Hour and co-director of Jewish Ferndale. We're talking about taking the anxiety out of Passover, and she mentioned public seders. Yes, Jewish Ferndale is doing a public seder the first day of Passover, which is March the 30th, Friday night. We're starting at 9 o'clock. Chana, so last Thursday you had a part of as a preparation for our Shabbos that we Shabbos Friday night. You had a let's get ready for Shabbos workshop and featuring some stress reducing recipes, let's call them, which were suitable for Passover. So let's change the topic a little bit. Let's focus on one of my favorite topics, food. So
food.
Yes.
Food. We all love food.
Yes. Now, Passover food doesn't have to be boring, nor does one have to resign oneself to buying pre-made Passover stuff, which is only available on Passover. I'm not even going to call it food. It's just
Well, it's
stuff.
Very costly. Let me butt in. So that's an anxiety for some people. Is a lot of kosher or Passover products are beautiful and perfectly kosher and marked that way. And people are shopping now, filling up their pantries with all kinds of kosher for Passover products. And I say all power to them. For those of us who choose not to use too many commercial products, and generally we don't use too many commercial products in the Finman household. We like to buy organic products and keep things pretty much in the Whole Foods as best as we can. Whole Foods not meaning the store, but Whole Foods meaning actually food that comes naturally to us, local and organic. So during this holiday, which consists of lots of getting togethers and eatings, right, it's possible to buy organic products. You know, they can be costly too. But for Passover holiday, when you're eating a whole lot of things, it's nice to know you're eating something that's really good for you, too. So I say go to your farmer's market or your best produce store and just have fun and pick out the most beautiful produce you can. And for me, that's a part of the happiness of the Passover holiday and all the preparations, because I love beauty, being into the arts and entertainment for this radio show. And I find it very entertaining to actually stroll through some of the more interesting places to buy produce, not in a panic feeling of, oh, my gosh, I have to get 20,000 pounds of potatoes or whatever that is, but kind of just enjoy the process of picking out some things that will delight your guests, whether it's mangoes or something exotic, something you normally don't have in the house so much. And talking about it at the table is also fun, that these are lovely things that come like turmeric, for instance.
Oh, turmeric, I was going to ask you
everyone's
actually
eating
about turmeric
now. It's sort of like the you used to call it the snake oil, right?
Right.
Like the
it's ubiquitous. You can find it even in gas stations and the little coolers over there. They have little turmeric roots.
Right. So turmeric has become sort of like a popular health food. But it really does have healing properties, however, and this is something really nice to think about, the raw root that you can buy, like you said, around. I haven't seen in gas stations yet. I'm pretty amazed that you have. But, you know, a lot of grocery stores will have turmeric root now. And it's just this funny little small carroty-looking thing.
Yeah, I mean, 20 years ago, we had to special order it. We had to go to the person where we got our produce from, and we would say, please, 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 could we get, like, say, like some turmeric roots, and he'd go like, turmeric, well, now it's like, it's all over the place. Go ahead, yes.
Yeah, so buying a bunch of turmeric roots and adding them into recipes will give you the incredible health benefits and also color. But the other thing that's lovely about buying the root is that it's a pure form. On the internet, there's been a lot of discussion about bad turmeric powders out there that have all kinds of, when they distill them chemically, they find traces of all kinds of weird stuff. And that concerns me a lot. But if you buy the lovely little small carroty-looking thing in the supermarket in the produce section, that adds a lot of flavor to soups and different recipes. And it's pure, so you know you're getting the real thing with all the health benefits that go along with it. So why not? Why not? Another
let me jump in and let me direct you. One thing that's become hot lately on Passover and just like the last 3-5 years is quinoa. Now quinoa is very good if you eat it like once in a while. But if you're gonna say like this is gonna be your grain replacement for the week, so after 3 days I just don't even want to look at quinoa.
Yes,
what can you do to jazz up quinoa, Hannah Finman?
Really, but this is really godsend for vegetarians. As we know, quinoa was produced in South America. It's an ancient grain, and when you see it on its stalk, you can Google it up and see a picture of what it looks like when it's growing in South America where it's imported from, and you see it's a beautiful plant with these little teeny seeds. And it's just fascinating to me that the tiniest seeds, think chia seeds as well, which I don't think are kosher for Passover.
They are not.
But it's different with the quinoa plant, but just in terms of tininess, that it's phenomenal to me that, comparatively speaking, from the wheat plant, you have a little seed. That's what we make flour out of. Comparatively speaking, if you line up a wheat seed, say, an oat seed, say, and a quinoa, teeny tiny little seed, the quinoa has more in it. And I think it's sort of amazing. So it's so good for you. It's one of the highest sources of protein that we have in the world. So for a vegetarian, this has been a godsend to get through the Pesach days and feel full.
Okay, so how's you jazzing it up so after 3 days it just doesn't seem like bird seed in your mouth?
No, if you're a meat eater, you're just looking at food in a different way than a vegetarian is, or someone who's on a gluten-free diet. They're looking at food in a different way than we are.
That's true. But I'm eating quinoa, and quinoa, we get it the whole week, and I want to know how do we make it taste good on the third day. What kind of thing are you going to come up with?
You want a recipe?
I want a recipe, yes.
Oh, you want the recipe. Well, the easiest thing about quinoa is you were supposed to examine it before the Passover holiday. It's recommended to just put it in a pan and look at it, shake it around, pour it into another pan 3 times to see if there's any extraneous, not kosher for Pesach, little bean flying around in there. But after you examine it 3 times, which takes about 1.5 minutes, you pour it into a Ziploc bag or a jar or something like that, and you have it for Passover. And what I say is look for the various kinds of quinoa to make it less boring, Herschel. You have red quinoa, and you have regular quinoa, and I think there's a new quinoa that's darker even than the red one.
They call it black, yes.
Black quinoa, right. And so get all three. I mean, you know, if you're going to be eating a lot of this. And I think quinoa tastes best when it is just made simply with water and fluffed up, and then you can add whatever you want to it. You know, it depends what you like, fried onions, you know, whatever. You can go in different directions with it. It's very bland, so it's going to be like rice, and it's going to kind of take upon whatever flavors and sauces that you choose to have with it. It can be eaten hot, but it also can be eaten cold, as, you know, in a salad, like a tabbouleh with lots of lemon juice, and if people choose to put olive oil on it or something like that, and just add whatever vegetables you want in there. Some people like to add a lot of parsley and things like that, whatever your tastes desire. So it's hot or cold. And for people who go to work during the intermediate days of Passover, of Pesach, that's a really good lunch. You have more protein in there than you have in meat. So in a little plastic container, big, healthy quinoa salad. You know, we had something in Jewish Frinder last year where people from Myers made a demonstration of a dish with quinoa, but they used kale. And there are people who might buy it fresh for Pesach, and there might people that might be an OUP version of frozen vegetables. I actually just read an article that said frozen vegetables are entirely kosher for Pesach. Just to know that is a wonderful thing that doesn't even need the OUP or all those different marks on it. It's kosher for Pesach, frozen vegetables.
Good to know.
So if you choose to buy frozen kale, that's what they did with the Myers food demo we had at Jewish Ferndale, and it was very, very nice. They had quinoa pre-made and mixed into it frozen kale. So, of course, that makes, if you're a working mother, a working woman, or a guy who's really doesn't have much time to prepare meals during Passover, Pesach, intermediate days, if you have to go to work, that's a really good recipe.
Yeah, and the quinoa, kale doesn't even need to be checked once it's been frozen.
Put some kale in it, put in some nuts, whatever you like, and a little salt or whatever seasonings you like, maybe some of that turmeric in there. You don't really need amounts and measurements. You can kind of wing it. And there you have it. Super, super food. But turmeric, kale, and quinoa, nuts, delicious.
Yum.
In your little Tupperware container, take that to work, and maybe a piece of matzah for the side and a fruit, and you're going to get through Pesach, okay? It's only a week. But the best anxiety, I think, reliever for Pesach is the mind over matter thing, which we talk a lot about here. And that is, you know, in our society nowadays, there's a lot of awards given, big public awards like the Academy Awards, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get the Nobel Prize, woohoo. Like people honor people who achieve something. Well, I think we underestimate the achievements sometimes of doing one of these holidays in its traditional forms, however we kind of interpret that. There's many different ways and many customs, and many different households do things in their own kind of special family traditions as well as the traditions that come from the Torah. And I think all of it together is so precious. Just consider it that you're getting a Nobel Peace Prize, the Academy Award, and maybe a Tony. Throw in a Tony. Why not? And that's what you really are achieving by the time you get through the first Seder. Oh, my gosh. The second Seder. Are you kidding? And then all of these other meals, holidays, people who attend services at the synagogue, people who go and buy special clothing, people who have relatives over and are teaching these things to grandchildren, grandchildren who are helping and assisting their grandparents. The beauty of a husband who buys his wife a piece of jewelry or flowers for the holiday. It's so thoughtful and sweet, never to be underestimated. A wife who gets her husband's suit cleaned at the cleaners for him in honor of the holiday. Never underestimate these small gestures of loving kindness in a home. And all this together, by the time we light candles and we bring in the holiday, we've already started receiving our Academy Awards, Nobel Prizes, and the Tonys.
Okay,
why not?
Okay, that's going
to. It's such an achievement, is what I'm trying to say.
Indeed.
And we should value all our efforts. And that's a way to relieve the stress and anxiety of, oh, my checklist is so long. How am I going to get it all done? Realize everything you're checking off the list is incredibly important for the sake of the Jewish people, for the sake of doing it for God's sake, for bringing God's will, so to speak, into our personal lives, which takes enormous effort, organization, and hopefully a happy, good spirit. Yeah, we can do this. We got this.
And the person can always say, you know, I really need a chocolate bar right now.
So, they really need a chocolate bar or even a compliment. You know, don't underestimate the value of a good coach. You know who wins the basketball tournaments? The kids that had the best coach.
Oh, you're very apropos with March Madness going on. I guess Jews are having their own March Madness. That's going to
I don't know anything about that. But we're all coaches.
Hashem.
So we have to be, a good coach says to the kids, you got this. You can do it. It's constantly upbeat. You're not going to yell. If this coach that screams and devalues his players, the people will walk off. But the coach that embraces the kids and tells them how wonderful they've achieved and notices everything they do that's good, that's the spirit to bring into our home.
Wonderful. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thank you so much, Chana. We've been discussing anxiety-less Passover, taking the fear away from preparing for Passover with Chana Finman.
Well, just one last thing, because I love to have the last word. We've been doing this for 3,300 years. We got this.
Indeed. Our guest has been Chana Finman, who is the co-producer of The Jewish Hour and the co-director of Jewish Ferndale. I want to wish you and yours a very happy and healthy Passover, Chana Finman.
Thanks, and we'll keep up the good attitudes in the home.
There you go.
It's a joint effort with all the members of the family. So it's all good stuff.
Okay.
All right.
That's going to do it. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. I feel so lack of stressed out now, right now, after that. Yes. Speaking of which, let's listen to some music. This is called Welcome Home by Shlomi Dax.
Searching for a path to choose. Strange as it may seem, the answer to her dreams in a faith whose ancient words ring true. Called by a friend she hardly knew, leading her to experience a Shabbos meal. A glowing candlelight, spirits through the night, her eyes open wide, her soul had come alive, reaching out, showing our love for every Jew, faces shine, beauty revealed in all we do, with emotion. Finding meaning in each day. that yearned to teach and learn how to serve the one above, to obey his commands, to do and understand, and to keep his Torah with love. Nights she lies awake and contemplates choice.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this is Shulam Lemmer, who's new on the scene. He's been a couple months already. We've played a couple of his things. This song is called A Be Gesund. That's Yiddish for just so long as you're healthy.
A bissel zin, a bissel regen, a ruhig Ohr, dem Kopf zu legen, a be gesund, kämmen glücklich sein. A schich a so, kleidet und lattes in Keschene, a dreif is lattes, a be gesund, kämmen glücklich sein. Die Luft is frei, vor jeden Glas, die sind sie scheint, na bi gesind, kemmen glücklich sein. Eine sich gewirrt, eine sich taschiert, eine in der ganzen Welt. Eine meint, der ganze Glück hängt nur auf auf Geld. Sollen alle sich hin, sollen alle kriechen, nur ich trage es mal mit. Ich darf es auf Kapur, es ist ein
go anywhere else when you go to One Stop Kosher. Located on Greenfield Road just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. One Stop Kosher is having a wine tasting this afternoon from 3 to 8. You want to know what to pair with what? What's the best wine to drink with matzah, Rabbi? Anyway, yes, no, I'm not going to be there per se. Very good reason is because I happen to be allergic to grapes, and there's no point in me going to wine tastings. It's just like, no. So I let my wife take care of that. She's the connoisseur. So as I let my wife take care of lots of stuff, including me. So that's a 3 to 8 today. Stopping at One Stop. Up next, the last thing in the Haggadah. The Haggadah is the story which is told at the Passover Seder, recounting the exodus of Egypt and all the miracles wrought by the Almighty on behalf of the Jewish people. The end in many Haggadahs is a song, which is called Chad Gadya, which is a parable of the imminent coming of the Messiah and the resurrection of the dead, which is what the thing's about. I started the show 23 years ago. One of the first CDs I got as a promo CD was a 2-volume collection of, I think it was 36 different versions of Chad Gadya from all over the world, from all kinds of times and spaces. I think I have since given that CD away, but I have, this is up now, because this is Sholem Lemmer, and this is one of my favorite versions of Chad Gadya, One Goat.
Oh,
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Tzav. We are in the second portion of the book of Leviticus. We're talking about animal sacrifices. And what we're going to do, what we've been wanting to do in this last year or so, is to connect the portion of the week with the upcoming holiday, or maybe just the immediately preceding holiday. So we're all focused now on Passover. What's the deal with Passover? Passover, we eat matzah. We eat matzah because it didn't rise. The bread didn't rise. And in order for that to happen, the matzah has to have been made with great alacrity and diligence. Even the square box matzahs, which I don't recommend anybody eat during Passover, simply because they really taste terrible for the most part. In fact, I don't think I've ever had a good one. They're from the time that the water hits the flour, it's got 18 minutes to be baked, which is really pretty much that's a long time. In fact, in most matzah bakeries, from the time that the flour hits the matzah and the time that the matzah is out of the oven is generally about 4 minutes. It's that much, it's that intense. There's been a push since the 1950s by the Lubavitcher Rebbe specifically to encourage people to eat what's called shmura matzah, which is made of shmura flour. The word shmura means guarded. Indeed, there's a whole process for even the harvesting. They have to wait for at least 3 days of no rain before they harvest the flour. If it's rained yesterday, nope, sorry, we've got to wait another 2 days. They go 2 days and it rained that, nope, we got to wait another 3 days. And this could go on, but they need 3 solid days of dry before they can harvest it. And it's so meticulously treated. And it's not ground in a water mill. It's ground in a just plain dry mill, and it's kept in moisture proof containers until it's allowed to be mixed with flour and water, which is at the time of the baking. Lubavitcher Rebbe really pushed it because in America, 1956, when the Rebbe started this massive campaign of encouraging people to go out and give shmura matzah to other people is really what he was telling his chassidim. You're eating shmura matzah, but everybody else should also be. So at that time, there was 2 or 3 shmura matzah bakeries and just a handful of people just eating it. So, I mean, people would tell me that they would get their shmura matzah the day before Passover because, listen, there's not that many, and they would just have it a little tiny bakery in the basement of some place, and there would be like a baking for a week, and that would be enough to suffice the needs of all the Jews in New York. Jump ahead to 2017, which, thanks to the effort of the emissaries of the Lubavitcher Rebbe and those who have caught on outside the realm of Lubavitch, so the shmura matzah business is out at this point, just in American bakeries, which I think there are more than a dozen, is well over £1 million. And they usually start baking it nowadays around October. But don't worry about it being stale, because once the water's cooked out of it, it can't get stale. I've had matzah that was actually 5 years old. I had a good deal on it once, and we were going to use it for distribution purposes, and someone had to like taste this 5-year-old matzah. Tasted like it just came out of the oven. No prop. So now shmura matzah has become a very big thing. If you need shmura matzah, if you just need a couple shmura matzahs, call me or drop me a line at rabbifinman.com. I do distribute Shmura matzah. I give two matzahs for free so that they can be used for the middle matzah, which is the important one at the Seder. It's the one we use the afikoman, and we break it and say the Seder on that one. And if you are in need of whole wheat, buy the pound or spelt or gluten-free oat. So I have those as well. And drop me a line at rabbifinman.com. And we will be in touch about how you can get, how you can procure that. And so the whole thing with the matzah is, it's got to be fast. And it goes back really to the Exodus of Egypt. The Exodus of Egypt took a third of a second. It was the blink of an eye. I was teaching a class with a person who's like an engineer, and I said, they traveled 120 kilometers in the blink of an eye. So he took out his calculator. He's like, what are you doing? He says, I want to see how fast that is. I said, what are you talking? So that's fast. So he said, the blink of an eye is about a third of a second. Okay, and then so it's a third of a second times I punched a couple of numbers. 54 million miles an hour is how fast the Jews traveled out of Egypt. That is moving when you put it into that terminology. And everything is done with great speed, with great alacrity, because we're not having dough rising. We'll talk about why not to have dough rising maybe next week, but we talked about it in the past, its significance. There is a pun which is made because the word matzahs is spelled exactly and in Hebrew as the word mitzvahs. The vocalization is different, but it's the same four letters of mem, tzadik, vav, and tuf. And the line is, as it says in the verse, says, don't let your matzahs become chametz. Meaning, do not allow the dough to lie around so that it ferments and thus becomes forbidden on Passover, but rather do it right away. So we change that. Don't let your mitzvahs become chametz, meaning if you have an opportunity to do something good, don't delay. We talked last week about free will, and hopefully sometime in the future we'll have Rabbi Wiederblank back on, and we'll be talking about divine providence. And my idea is even the mitzvahs that we do, the good deeds that we do, we have a freedom of choice. We can choose if we're going to do it or not, but we can only choose those good deeds that the Almighty puts in front of us to do. And if it happens that right now, you have the opportunity to do something good, don't waste it. Do it right now. In fact, you should even be going, go like people right now before Passover, the mad rush, the scramble for getting the matzah, getting all the things that you need, getting ready. As my grandmother would say, we'll all sit down to the Seder together. Do it without anxiety, but you got to do it with that alacrity, that speed. Whatever that good thing is that the Almighty has put in front of you. This takes us in directly with the portion of the week. The word tzav, it talks about the various, some of the sacrifices which were offered in the desert and in the temple. The daily service in the temple started before dawn, with a couple of dudes with rubber squeegees, basically is what they had, sweeping up all the ashes on the altar, which were left from there from the night before, from all the sacrifices which were burnt on the altar. And it fits into the guise of, if you want somebody to do something for you, just tell them it's a mitzvah. And that's what it was. There was a mitzvah of Terumas Hadeshan, which was called the ash offering. And they would sweep it into a big pile. And every 60 or 70 years, they would actually clear off about half of the pile, because this is like a good thing to have, like an indication that this altar is being used regularly. And they would take a fistful of this ash and they would throw it off the side of the altar. And that was the ash offering. Moses was told to tell Aaron and his sons, Tzav es Aaron ubanav, command Aaron and his sons. Rashi, the classic commentary that brings down the very simplest of interpretations, says, Ein tzav ela lezrizas ledores, that when it says tzav, when it says command them, it means they should do it with alacrity, and they should do it for all generations. So indeed, we see that right in the portion, as we're getting ready for Passover, what is it that we're supposed to be doing? The portion says, tzav, got to do it right away. Speaking of doing right away, we got to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back with the Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? Go to rabbifinman.com. There, right on the homepage, you'll find a contact link. You'll contact me, I'll contact you, and if you do it sometime today, then I'll probably get back to it today, because this is really when I devote my time to looking at it. If you could do it tomorrow, the next day, maybe it'll take me a day or so, maybe I'll catch it, and I'll say, oh, look, there's a quick letter, a quick comment, you know, or if it just warrants a thank you, I'll just hit a thank you. So any comment, criticism, question, query, you name it, it's all good. Just send it off to rabbifinman.com. You'll also find archived editions of the show. I mentioned the wonderful interview that we had with Rabbi Nathanael Wiederblank from last week. Did you miss it? Go to rabbifinman.com. Click on the page. It says radio. And right there, well, as soon as this program is up in about 8 minutes, you'll be able to listen to Hannah Finman again. But there'll be Rabbi Wiederblank and Hermanus Friedman before that, et cetera. Going back for 2 years, it's all there. You could have a party. There's also archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, classes which I have tried to make Judaism and the ideals and thoughts of Judaism entertaining and interesting, exciting, and informative. And there's also the very important donations page. We are at the end of March. We're still trying to do February. This month is the Jewish Hour membership month, that if you send in a donation of $36 or more, we send you a CD from the Jewish Hour radio music archives. Just specify what type of genre of Jewish music you like, and we'll send you a CD with that $36 or more donation. Whatever donation you give, we need it. We got a couple of fives this week. Fives are good. If everybody listening out there in Radio Land gave $5, I wouldn't have to do this, because I've said if we could get the show paid for before the end of the month, I won't have to do this. Just it'll be happening automatically. It's totally up to you. Go to the computer. Go to rabbifinman.com, click on the donations page, click a number. If you got a PayPal account, the whole thing takes 30 seconds. Do it by credit card, takes 3 minutes, or maybe you can type a little faster than that. You can make it a monthly even thing. You won't even have to think about it except more than once. Don't like internet giving? No prob. Send your donation in any amount to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Story involves the city of Szans, which is located in Hungary, someplace many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms, during the life of the first Szanszi Rebbe, Reb Chaim Halberstam of Szans. There was an orphan who, no father, no mother, who constricted tuberculosis, and doctors didn't give him very long to live. And so he was billeted in a certain person's house. Now, this person had a custom that before Passover, and part of their preparations, they would whitewash all the walls. My grandmother told me, my grandmother lived in a little shtetl in Poland, and she told me, and she lived there until she was 36. Yeah, so, yeah, she was an adult. they used to sweep out the old dirt before Passover and get new dirt for the floor. That was what they used to do. You imagine, you know, this is, you're talking backwater Poland. But this person used to whitewash his house every year. This is how part of his cleaning preparation. Doctor told them, listen, this kid's lungs, you're going to kill him if you whitewash. If you paint the inside of the house, the smell's just going to kill him. You cannot wash the whitewash the house this year. He ran to the Rebbe. He was in a panic. Rebbe, what do I do? It says, every year I have to paint my house to get ready for Passover. I'm just going to have to kick the kid out. The Sansa Rebbe went white and said, what's the problem? Just wait for the kid to get better. Okay, so word got around that the Sansa Rebbe said that this kid with tuberculosis is going to get better, whereas the doctor had said that his lungs had basically disintegrated and he was going to die soon. But who was right? Sansa Rebbe was right. At this point, the doctor, who was a bit dumbfounded by the whole thing, came in contact with the Sansa Rebbe's grandson, who was Shlomo Rakeach, who later became the first Belzer Rebbe. You know, the one, Shtetl Belz, my Shtetl Belz. Yeah, he was the first Rebbe in the city of Belz. And he asked him, why is it if your grandfather can cure the blind and heal the lame, why doesn't he do it for everybody? How come just this kid? And the Belzer Rebbe, the future Belzer Rebbe, said, well, it's pretty obvious. It's just because you're so adamant that there was no cure for the kid. That's going to do it. We got another version of Chad, closing with another version of Chad Gad Yah for your listening pleasure. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. If you need matzah, contact me at rabbifinman.com. Until next week, take care.